This episode contains conversations of mental health and self-harm. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Delta Flyers with Tom and Harry. As we journey through episodes of Star Trek Voyager, your two hosts along this journey are myself, Garrett Wong, and my co-host, Mr. Robert Duncan McNeil. And remember, you can get the full version of this podcast by signing up to become a patron at patreon.com/TheDeltaFlyers. Robbie McNeil, hello.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. Are you still basking in the glow of the Georgia win?
I will bask in the glow of the Georgia win for 40 more years, if that's what it takes, because that's what I did the last time. 1980 to 2021. It took 41 years for us to get another one. So I hopefully we don't have to wait that long, but it was exciting.
I think you will bask at least through the off season. through the off season for sure.
Exactly.
And through training camp. And then you'll be jazzed when the new season begins. So,
yeah.
And I started thinking that maybe this should be a ritual. Maybe you and I should be watching these games and we should be live streaming or at least recording our reactions to this and putting it up on, you know, if it's not on the Delta Flyers, this could be a whole nother site or a whole nother thing that we do.
I would make people nervous because I walk around and pace and I start yelling at the television.
Your manic behavior would scare people away.
Is that what you're saying? Maybe.
Or they might think it's adorable. They might think, look, Tom Paris is pacing. He never paces, but he does for Georgia games.
I know.
But see, that would be the true odd couple. I would be sitting in the chair and you would be pacing back and forth near me like that.
You would be the calm one.
I would be the calm one finally.
And you'd be,
yes, we would. So this is why I think this would be premium entertainment for people.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was a good one.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Okie doke. So this week's episode.
Season 5, we're off and running now in season 5.
We really are. And it is now episode 3. So we are at Extreme Risk is the name.
Oh,
of the episode. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I just want to say, I think it's really exciting that the last episode, Drone, was where the conversation, the seed of the Delta Flyer is born. Do you remember that?
The
little conversation in the shuttle Seven and the Doctor and Torres and Seven suggested.
Seven is the one that suggested.
He's the one that suggested
me.
It. Yeah,
Torres. B'Elanna's come on.
And B'Elanna affirmed it. Usually, B'Elanna and Seven kind of butt heads, but in this episode,
they were on the same page.
They're on the same page, and you were like, "Hey, we do need a bigger shuttle, a faster shuttle, a better shuttle." So, I'm really wondering when that comes into play. Maybe in it's got to be this season. I'm guessing at some point.
Oh, it'll be this season for sure. It's got to be.
Yes.
But I don't know if it's just this right away in this next episode, but maybe.
Yeah. So
let's go watch it.
Let's go watch this episode.
Okay.
All right, everyone. We will be right back with our discussion recap of Extreme Risk. Patreon patrons, please stay tuned for your bonus material. Okay, Robbie and I are back from watching Extreme Risk.
Yes, we are.
Ooh.
Yes.
All right.
This was so much to talk about.
Yeah. Let's start off with the poetry synopsis right off the bat, our poetry synopsis, and get right into it. Let's not waste any time. Here we go. My haiku for Extreme Risk.
Yes.
The Malon are thieves, a race to build the flyer. Torres works through grief.
Haiku is just so clean.
So clean and concise.
Simple and concise. I love it. Very good job.
Thank you.
our limerick poetry synopsis of Extreme Risk. Here we go. B'Elanna's depression is dire. When asked, she's just one big old liar. The probe is retrieved, defeat of the Malon achieved, and it's all thanks to the new Delta Flyer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, damn. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good job, Rebecca. Okay, let's talk about guest stars in this episode. What have you let's done do. In your research? What do you have?
Okay, let me get to my guest star research. Hamilton Camp.
What a name. Hamilton Camp.
Well, here's what's interesting I found out about Hamilton.
Yeah.
So Hamilton is his actor name.
Oh.
But he also, outside of acting, was a very successful folk singer.
What?
And he went by the name Bob Camp. He was part of a duo with Bob Gibson. I don't know the name of it. Maybe it was Bob and Bob, or I don't know. Bob Camp and Bob Gibson.
Bob Squared.
But yeah, during the late 50s and throughout the 60s, he started as Bob Gibson, then went to Hamilton. He passed away, sadly, in 2005.
Oh, darn it.
He also had played in other Star Trek shows. He played Lek on Deep Space Nine in the episode Ferengi Love Songs and the Magnificent Ferengi episode.
Okay.
Alex Enberg appears as Vorik again on the show.
Vorik's back.
Although very briefly, he didn't have a lot to do, but it was nice to see the continuity.
Yeah.
We've talked about Alex Enberg and that he is Jerry Taylor's sons. We've talked about him before. And our last co-star is Daniel Betances. I don't know how you pronounce it. What he was the pilot in the first scene with B'Elanna when she was in a shuttle and she was going to skydive.
Yeah, that's right.
He played a pilot.
Yeah, he played Starfleet. He was a Starfleet holodeck character.
He was a holodeck character, exactly. There you go.
Right.
Okay, let's talk about the writer and director real quick. This was written by Ken Biller, which you
Look at that.
I thought he directed it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's interesting because we were talking about maybe this was one of our old school directors.
Yeah, I mentioned
that. And it was Cliff Bohl.
I was right. I thought it was Alex Singer. Wrong about that. But Cliff Bohl, also one of the old school directors that we've used in the past that we haven't seen in a while. So, okay. So we got a little bit right. Some of it kind of right with the Cliff Bohl.
But again, a Ken Biller writing a B'Elanna episode, not surprising. That seems to be a pattern here.
That is a pattern. He loves B'Elanna. He loves B'Elanna.
The other thing that I find interesting is that the Doctor barely appears in this episode, and Neelix. They have very little to do. The Doctor only comes in 26 minutes into the show.
Yeah.
Neelix has one scene.
But Neelix has more than the Doctor. The Neelix has more to say, definitely, and more acting to do. The Doctor was the Doctor was an under five. He delivered one line and he left.
That was it.
It's
interesting because usually when I feel like when characters don't have much to do, it goes back to my rule of we all have to be involved. This felt like we were all involved, even though the Doctor wasn't. I didn't feel like the episode was lacking in kind of the full cast chemistry, even though we were missing because the Doctor didn't have much to do, but everybody else was really involved.
Okay.
All right.
Let's start it off. Let's
start it off on the B'Elanna is on a shuttle. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I wrote down, I am jealous that she has a different pilot. I didn't realize this was a holodeck. We realized she's on the holodeck. She's got this crazy costume that looks like it's got bathroom tiles on it.
Yeah. Yes.
It's got weird sort of bathroom little square tiles all over it. We've never seen that outfit before.
And we have never seen that modified motorcycle helmet that she puts on either.
That's what I said. Different. Why ruin a great motorcycle helmet? They ruined a perfectly good motorcycle helmet with the tubes and the weird stuff. But
you being the motorcycle enthusiast that you are, I knew you would catch that immediately.
Well, I used to ride motorcycles with Roxanne's husband, Eric Dawson.
That's right.
We both were riding Harley Davidson motorcycles back then.
Yeah.
We both had Harleys and we did quite a few rides together. I think Eric now has like a dozen bikes. He's a big bike collector.
Really?
Yeah. I stayed in touch with Eric a little bit.
It's interesting. You have bought and sold bikes throughout your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I keep asking, oh, what about that bike? Oh, I sold that one. Oh, okay. And then recently when I was at your house, I saw your newer bike that you just got. You just got a whole brand new bike. So you don't keep them for long, where evidently it seems that with
Eric, if he gets one, he keeps it.
He doesn't toss it. That thing just goes into his little museum, his bike museum. So
yeah, I have two bikes right now. I have a vintage 1980. Custom kind of cafe racer,
right?
And then I've got the new Triumph that you saw. So
yeah, it's purdy.
It's a purdy little vehicle. Yeah. But yeah, I saw that motorcycle helmet. I was like, oh, ruined a great little motorcycle helmet.
Yeah.
Anyway, she goes to the door to get the force field ready to jump out of the door, and she turns the safety protocols off.
Right. But before she does that, she says higher. Right. They're at a certain altitude, and she goes no. Nope. And that's when Betance, the actor Betance, says to her, "Hey, this is not recommended." She's like higher. So they go to 300,000 in the altitude, and then that's when she turns the safety protocols off, and she hops out.
Yeah.
And middle of the free fall. And she gets a call from Chakotay.
Yeah.
And he says, "You got to report to engineering on the double." And she's like, "Great." So she leaves.
Right.
She's in the corridor, and Torres is
Right there for one second, because I want to put a little personal note in here. So
Go.
When I'm watching this, I'm often using the dictation on my phone to, as I'm watching and pausing and kind of going, okay, safety protocols are turned off. B'Elanna jumps. Chakotay calls, I'm dictating. And then Walter, my dog, jumps up on the couch and he's all over me. And I forgot to turn my dictation off. So here's what my notes say.
Yeah, read it.
Safety protocols off, period. She jumps, period. Chakotay calls, lay down, lay down, lay down, lay down, lay down right here, lay down. Lay down, lay down, lay down, lay down. Oh my God. Period. I kept dictating. You didn't even... That's how many times I said lay down. Until oh my God.
Oh my God. Lay down. Lay
that's,
down.
That's my
lay
notes.
That is so funny. It's I didn't even over and do over. You always dictate the notes?
Do a combo. I didn't in the past, but now I'm dictating. Because I find I can stay in it a bit more, and I can, but I do a combo of typing and dictating.
Oh my God. Cause I've only typed. So you telling me that you're doing the dictation as well. It's kind of like, the first time I realized I could tape my lines to the console. This is a game changer for me. So you actually dictating, but while you're dictating, do you pause the episode and then dictate, or do you let it run and dictate at the same time?
No, I pause and I'll dictate something. And, but that's why I forgot to turn it off. And
lay
it
down, says, lay down, down, lay down. Oh my God. Lay down, lay down.
It's just over and over and over and over. Anyway. Okay. So we finish. Chakotay calls. And
Just want to say, good thing that you and Rebecca are on good terms, that you have a pretty good relationship. Otherwise, that would be in there too. Like, what do you mean? I did do the laundry. Damn you. I mean, you see that going back and forth too.
You never know what's going to be in the notes.
All right. Corridor. So now we're in the corridor, and Torres is joined by Seven. The probe is ready to launch, and Torres says she's not feeling well, and maybe Seven can take care of this probe launch. And so she's shocked. Seven's
what? Like,
you're putting me in charge?
She says, that is unexpected.
Yeah.
Yes.
Completely unexpected.
Very surprised. Mm-hmm. And then she says, should I call the doctor? Because B'Elanna says she's not feeling well.
Right.
And she said, no, please don't tell the doctor.
Yeah. Which also gets a sideways glance from Seven. Seven is confused. Yep. Like, what is happening to this?
What
this
is happening? Yeah.
We have an exterior space shot of our probe being tractored in.
Now, how big do you think this probe is?
I
thought it was big.
The size of. Wait, you think it's as big as a shuttle? No.
Well, no, here's why I beam
it in later. I'm going to say it's probably the size, I don't know, like 3 feet long is my guess.
Size of a desk or something like that.
Yeah. You think it's bigger than that, huh?
I thought it was much bigger. That's why I asked, because later on we do, spoiler alert, but we do say beam it into the shuttle cargo hole.
So it's got to be small.
And I was like, what? Okay, maybe it's smaller. I just kept picturing this big giant, like bigger than a shuttle.
Right.
At least as big as a shuttle, if not bigger. Right. But maybe I was wrong. Right. It's hard to tell in the space shot.
Yeah.
Because you see the tractor beam grab it, and then the camera pans over to the Malon ship.
Yeah.
And it looks pretty big. The probe looks big in the foreground. So I don't know. Hard to tell. Let's say it's a desk.
So the line should have been, use the Delta Flyer shrinking beam and then beam it into the shuttle.
Yeah. Okay. I think so.
All right.
We need a shrinking beam.
Yeah, we need a shrinking beam. A miniaturization beam is what we need.
That would be a great accessory to have, because then we could just, you know, shrink things and just fit them wherever. Like, yeah, if we don't have room, just shrink it when you beam it in, like make it 1/100th of that size.
Yeah.
Just beam that ship into my closet.
Exactly. You know, those clunky phaser rifles that we have, we could shrink those down and just keep them in our little, you know, well, we don't have pockets, but we could just keep them in our hands, in the palm of our hand like that.
We should have a shrinking beam on Voyager.
That'd be so nice. I think we need that. All right. So we have this exterior space shot of our probe being tractored in by a vessel. And then we jump to the Voyager bridge, where Harry has detected a Malon vessel. It's the Malon vessel that's locked onto our probe with this tractor beam. Janeway asked the Malon to be nice, release our probe. They don't even respond. Paris says, you know what? It's going to take 2 hours to get there. All right. Because Janeway asked, well, what if we go retrieve it ourselves? And by that time, 2 hours is going to be long gone. So Tuvok recommends instructing the probe to emit a polaron burst to disrupt the tractor beam. It works. Janeway then tells Harry to redirect the probe's course. I didn't even know you could just steer the probe, like, you know, it's like a remote control car.
Yeah.
Right. And so the Malon pursue. Janeway says, all right, we can hide this probe, because Paris says, like, you know, this probe is not going to be able to
it'll never outrun this Malon vessel.
Malon's going to catch it eventually. Yep. So Janeway says, we can hide it. And everyone's like, huh? Hide it. So Harry says,
yeah, I remember that we passed a class 6 gas giant. And we can hide it in there.
Where it should be crushed. But then Janeway says, well, not if the Borg shielding does its job. So now we know that there's Borg shielding on this probe. Mm-hmm. Well, the Malon vessel just follows the probe blindly, not even caring about their own well-being. And of course, they get crushed like an aluminum soda can. Just gone. They're done.
And I have to say, this bridge scene, there was a lot going on. My notes, you covered it all, but it was quite extensive what was discussed on the bridge.
There's a lot, yes.
There's a lot of dense information in the scene. But I thought Cliff Bold did a phenomenal job of covering the bridge. It was really elegant, the way that, you know, like Paris down front would slide over and then Harry's line would be in the background. And then, you know, the way that he covered that bridge, Janeway gets up and walks around to Harry's station, and we had a reverse bridge angle, which we don't normally do.
Yep.
But it was very elegant how just every line sort of had a little movement and handed off to someone else. I thought Cliff did a great job.
He did. It flowed very well.
Yep.
Most definitely. All right. We jump to the briefing room, and the probe is now stuck in a deep layer of liquid hydrogen and methane, approximately 10,000 kilometers below the outer atmosphere. It's not responding to commands. And then Torres just shows up late. Chakotay asks if there's any possibility of transporting it out. Torres is so short with that answer. She just says, no, like,
no.
Exactly. And he says, well, can we boost the transporter range? Same. No, not really. Not through that interference. Tom says, well, if we can't transport it out, then we would just have to fly in and grab it. Tuvok makes some little smart aleck
snarky comment.
You know how we talked about before, how we thought there would be a lot of tension between Tom and B'Elanna? Well, the tension really is between Tom and Tuvok and Chakotay and B'Elanna in this episode, right?
Yeah. So
there's more tension between Tom and Tuvok than there is between Tom and Torres, for sure.
And by the way, a couple of things. I felt like in this scene, B'Elanna is so different than we've ever seen her before.
Completely.
I don't know why the whole room just didn't go, hold on a minute, everybody.
Yeah.
B'Elanna, what the heck is going on? Like, it was so unusual
And unsettling, because it really, I mean, we're like strangers to her in a way in this episode. Yeah. She doesn't even, and especially to Paris, it's like, what the,
that's
all
what
the,
I mean.
All the PT like, shippers were like, what the heck's
what's
happening?
Going on? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I was surprised that, and maybe it's because in this episode, Paris needed to be focused on building the Delta Flyer and Chakotay was available to have these conversations. But I really wish, because of their relationship, I wish he could have been a more important part of helping her heal some of this stuff.
I agree. And again, we're stuck with the constraints of a 43-minute episode. So I feel that this could have easily been a two-parter just to deal with her trauma, you know? So that's one downside of not having enough time to address the problem, to address the issues. So Tom says, you know, class two shuttles just don't cut it. Mm-hmm. And Paris then gets up and displays the specs for the Delta Flyer.
By the way, when I got up,
I
noticed my sideburns.
Oh, I didn't notice
that. They were
that.
Good. They were like thick, really sharp, pointy sideburns. I was like, those are good sideburns this year. Like, I feel like we've really upped our game in the sideburn game this year.
All right. I didn't notice your sideburns, but I did notice at the beginning of the scene, you get progressively redder. Like at the very end of the scene, it looks like you're sunburnt. Did you notice that? Oh,
no,
yes.
I
was like,
that.
Wait a minute. First, when you get up to go look at, to tap on the view screen, you got a big red splotch on the back of your neck, like a rash. And then as the scene goes, and as the scene goes on, your face is normal colored in the very beginning. But then towards the very end, when you say your last couple of lines, it's red. It's like either, I'm wondering, did somebody say something really funny that you got embarrassed about? You know how when you blush, you know, I'm just wondering what happened to this blush response? It was very strange. Or makeup came in to do a touch up and they put all this freaking blush on you. Like
maybe
look really red, like you're burnt. and then my other question is you're listing the specs of the Delta Flyer.
It's
really cool stuff. Ultra aerodynamic contours, retractable nacelles, parametallic hull plating, unimatrix shielding, Borg-inspired weapon system. Why haven't you told Harry about this to begin with? Like, Harry's sitting there looking at it going, where did this come from? Yeah, it's a little bizarre, but...
Yeah, it's Tuvok does say in the scene, he goes, not again, you know.
Yeah,
You've talked about this. It's not going to work.
Yeah. And Harry says it too. Harry's like, oh, geez, Tom. You know, it's the same thing between Harry, Tom. And then all of a sudden you pull this out of your back pocket. Like you've
the
been
whole
working
schematics. I've got it all figured out.
It's like, when did you do this? And you did.
I did notice that, you know, Paris, as everybody starts offering up some ideas, well, maybe we can reinforce the hull plating with this or that, or maybe we can. Paris has a sarcastic comment for everybody. He was basically like,
he does.
Okay, now you guys are, great. Yeah. Thanks a lot for, everybody's been pooping on this.
Right.
All the other times I've brought it up and now everybody's.
Yeah. I mean, everyone does chime in with their kind of affirmation. 7 of 9 basic design elements are adequate. You know, so she approves, Harry approves, Tuvok approves, everyone approves. And then,
Janeway's like,
we can help. Yeah.
Let's get to work. Mm-hmm. And Janeway takes a look to B'Elanna at the very end of the scene. She's the only one that acknowledges how weird B'Elanna is.
Oh, I didn't see that. I missed that. I was probably too busy typing.
If I was dictating, I would
catch that.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it's my fault. All right.
We go to the holodeck.
Yeah.
There's no program running except for a holodeck model or a hologram model of this Delta Flyer.
Of the Delta Flyer, yeah. Yep. And I like the add-on that you threw in there, the dynametric tail fins. I thought that was pretty cool. And then, of course, Tuvok, the party pooper.
He goes, it is not a hot rod.
He pronounced the hot rod. Because you and I know, you say hot rod, right? But the Vulcan emphasis or the Tim Russ Tuvok, hot rod, like a hot dog. I was like, what's a hot rod? I mean, come on. But it was funny.
Like,
I mean, I love
computer
it.
Delete Mr. Paris's additions.
Yeah.
It is not a hot rod.
We are not designing a hot rod, Lieutenant. Yes. Paris
says, I think they look cool. And he says they serve no purpose. And Paris is like, no, they do. They look so scary that you know,
people think enemies, twice about messing with us.
Yeah, they won't mess with us if we have cool tail fins on our shuttle.
That's the key to intimidating aliens. Have really cool tail fins off of your missiles. That's what I'm doing. Well, then, Seven mentions that Lieutenant Torres's hull design is flawed. We should be using tetraburnium alloys instead of titanium. And of course, immediately Harry's like, Harry bristles because he knows, typical Torres would just snap back and say, start arguing with you.
Yeah.
But there is absolutely not a peep.
Silence. She's not even paying attention, really. No.
She's like, fine. And she goes, I'm leaving. I got to finish up the thruster specs. Mm-hmm. She's out of there. Janeway did notice Torres in the prior scene, but clearly everyone in this scene now is staring
to notice.
Yeah, they're starting to notice. Something's happening.
There's some moments where we cut to Tuvok and he's looking at her kind of curiously, like something's off. Harry notices.
Yeah.
Everyone's starting to notice.
Yeah.
The next scene, we go to Paris's quarters. And I did notice Paris is looking at a pad. I did notice the orange lights in Paris's quarters. And I remember
why.
Well, orange is my favorite color.
Yes, I know that.
Yeah, like
I know
all my phone cases are orange, my glasses cases. And
did you tell them that? Is that what
you said? Yeah, because
they asked you.
Do you remember they would ask us? Yeah.
What color lights do you want over your bed? And you said orange. I love
Marvin. Marvin would ask because the lighting department would have to pre-rig that stuff.
Yeah.
So Marvin used to come up and say, hey, we're putting lights in your quarters for the first time. And
right.
And, is there a color that you would like? And he might say, Marvin might have said to us, like, well, we were thinking about purple or something. Does that sound good? But if you said a different color and no one else had taken it, you got
a different color.
I asked for the orange. I remember that.
Okay. Well, initially you said, when you were describing this scene, you said Tom is on his pad. I'm going to talk about some other pads now. I'm going to talk about your boob pads. You can see the boob pads.
No, I didn't have boob pads in this shot.
What?
No.
There's two lumpy, because you showed me what, you recently showed me what they look like, because I thought they were wide and plastic and hard, but they're thin and narrow that they go over. They're like are you positive about
that? No, not in this. I only wore that under the big spacesuit. I didn't have the girdle with the built-in chest pads and shoulder pads in this scene. I noticed, by the way, that I was kind of on the skinnier side in this episode.
Yeah, you're more trim, but I'm still
seeing. And I remembered around season 5, I discovered spinning. And I got obsessed for a few years. In fact, I still have a spinning bike at my house.
You started spinning.
In Utah, I started spinning like a madman. I was going to spinning classes on the bike, and I started riding on the road again around season 5.
Yeah. You're definitely in better shape.
That continued through most of the rest of the series. Around season 5 is when I discovered that, and I loved it. So I think that's what was going on.
Well,
I was biking a lot.
Okay, but if you have a chance to relook at that scene, I would like you to, because the weird thing about it is,
I had the pads?
Yes, because it almost looks like, you know how it's kind of like a cushion, like a sofa cushion, or you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Itself. There's some irregularities to each side of like little indentations. So I said, oh, that's the pad doing that, because it's a thin strip on each pec and it has a little, modeling to it or a little bumpiness to it. Unless that's just your chest hair clumping out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Could be.
It might've been. You can see with my face.
Yeah.
I tend to get a little bushy. Right.
Yeah, you do get a little bushy. So you had a little bushy chest hair then.
I might have. Was. Yeah.
Okay. Well, my bad. It just, I thought that, how crazy that they put that into the t-shirt.
I don't think they did. I really don't.
Okay.
In fact, when I saw that t-shirt, I was like, oh yeah, I remember that. It was really form fitting. Like it was skin tight, that shirt. So I don't think that there was, I can't imagine that would have been, because you would have really seen it. If that thing that I wore under the spacesuit, you would have seen a lot more of the structure of that thing.
Well, that's the thing. I see the outline of it. If you're looking at that shot, it's really, I think you were not staring at your chest at all. I think you were looking at your sideburns, how trim your stomach was, and you weren't paying attention to your chest, your pecs.
Maybe. Okay.
So I'm going to say that you should look at it again.
I'll look at that again.
Okay.
But B'Elanna shows up with some specs on a pad, and Paris is like, hey, why don't we open up a bottle of of wine. And, you know, we can go over this together. And she's like, nope, not tonight.
Yeah.
And so Paris, so this is the only scene where Paris really confronts her and tries to talk to her. Mm-hmm. And he's like, what is going on? Like, this is our dream. This is what we've talked about doing, collaborating on something together. That's really meaningful, really important. And it's a nice scene. I like this scene. It wasn't a super long scene, but it was nuanced and it had a good stuff in their relationship, good stuff for Paris. But ultimately she shuts him down and leaves and says she's got to go.
Yeah, she just completely repelled your affection. And you had your hands on her.
On her shoulders?
On her shoulders. And she just takes them off. She's like, no, not tonight.
Nope.
You know, I've got a headache. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I can't let you even touch me. So something's definitely off. And you didn't really, and Paris doesn't really, you know, fight her on it. He's just like, wow, I'm shocked. Yeah. And I'll just let her go. And she leaves.
Yeah.
And guess where she goes? She heads right back to the holodeck for more safety protocol, disengaged fun is what
exactly. She's walking down the hall and someone's walking past her the other way. Mm-hmm. And she kind of walks past the holodeck for a second until they're gone. And then she goes back.
She sneaks
like in. She doesn't want to be seen going into the holodeck again.
No.
And she pushes some buttons and disengages the safety protocols and heads inside. And as she walks in the door, we see that there's some rocks in the foreground as she's walking into the holodeck.
Yeah.
And she starts to take her spacesuit jacket off. Did you remember this?
Yes.
So she starts to pull it off. Now, here's to me, these little things bug me so much. She starts walking the holodeck, zipping the thing, pulling it off. And she's got a turtleneck on like we always do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then as we cut to the next moment, as she comes around the corner, she's finishing that jacket coming off, but she's magically got a tank top on.
The turtleneck disappears?
The turtleneck just disappeared.
Oh my goodness.
Part of a second, and it became a tank top in the cut. So I know they wanted her in the tank top, but to me, that's a big whoops. It's like, if you're going to match, if you're going to literally start pulling the jacket off.
Yeah, you better match it.
It can't change.
No, it has to stay the same.
The turtleneck has to be there.
Yeah.
Or don't pull the jacket off. Yeah. Or pull the jacket off and pull the turtleneck over and you've got a tank top underneath or something.
Or pull the exterior garment off and then rip the turtleneck off to make it into a...
That would work. Anything. Tank but top. What they did to me, that was a big whoopsie.
That's a continuity faux pas right there. Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. Good catch, man. I had no clue. She ends up fighting hand-to-hand combat with a Cardassian holodeck character with the safety protocols off. And again, we're all questioning as the audience, what is she going through?
She's getting to this big fight. She's getting, injured, but she's deep into the fight. There doesn't seem to be a clear winner. And at the end of the scene, she sort of throws him. He flips on the ground and then he starts approaching her in a really threatening way. And I need to ask. So I thought this fight was pretty good. But the last time we see B'Elanna, she's got her hands up like in a claw fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, is that a Klingon technique? Like the sort of claws? Or would you be like, I feel like you'd be sort of ready for a punch, not a scratch. I don't know. That, to me, didn't seem as threatening as it could have been.
Unless you're well-versed in Chinese Kung Fu, and that would be Tiger Kung Fu that she's utilizing. So she's
what it looked like. There you go.
I'm justifying as. She was using, Chinese Tiger martial Kung arts. Fu. Yeah, okay. Tiger Kung Fu.
Okay.
There you go. All right. Now we go on to the bridge and Janeway comes down to your vacated station where somebody else is sitting there.
Yeah.
And did you notice this? She gives a command to that ensign at Khan and that ensign responds with, "Aye, ma'am," which is so different because it's either "I, captain," or "Yes, ma'am." But this person said, "Aye, ma'am." Which
was
I thought,
did that person say it or was it like Loop Group that did it? Was it Max or something?
I think it was Loop Group. Yeah,
but I still, bet it was the.
But still, a lot of those should know better than that, though. Come on, ma'am. Come on.
Just wrong. Well, wrong. I've trademarked the "yes, ma'am." So
yeah, so they were afraid to use.
They were afraid to use my trademark.
They said, "No, we don't want to. We don't want to be sued by Robbie McNeil." Yeah, so
exactly.
Okay, that makes sense. All right. The Malon freighter captain hails Voyager, and he says, you know, you're the reason why my fellow compatriots have died. And she says, no. They chased after our probe. It was our property. They kind of, you know, they died on their own accord. That's
the Yeah. He's like, we lost a ship and we lost nine crew members and we're going to take this probe
as
to
payment.
To make up for that loss of the freighter and the nine lives.
And the crew. Yeah. And Janeway. Yeah. And I thought, wow, that's a pretty good deal.
That's a,
cheap.
You lost a whole ship and nine people.
And we're just going to give you a probe in return.
And we've decided this probe is pretty small. Like at least when I was thinking it was the size of a shuttle, that's, you know, significant. Now it's like the size of a Coke bottle. So I don't know.
That's kind of like losing a Winnebago and a whole family. And in return, we say, here's a Matchbox car to give to you. You can have this in return.
Yeah.
It was a funny little interaction between the Malon freighter captain and Janeway. Janeway says, you know, I'm going to warn you, anytime you see anything that says Voyager on it, you better turn around and hightail it. Just get out of there. Don't even touch it.
That was cowboy of her.
Very cowboy. I thought, my gosh, she's brandishing her six shooters and look at her.
I feel like something was a little spicy with her, a little different with Janeway because her hair is always a dead giveaway. Today she had the fluffy hair combo with the bedhead. So it was a little fluffy and it was a little bedhead.
Yeah.
So that's why she was a little extra cowboy spice.
Yeah. She woke up on the wrong side of the bed and she hung up with the guy. She ended the transmission. She was like, end transmission. Boom. Mm-hmm. Done. She never normally doesn't do that. So
no. Yeah, and then she says to Chakotay, or she says to the room, she's like, why do these trash collectors want these probes so badly? Basically.
Right.
She doesn't actually call them trash collectors.
Right.
But I did when I was dictating. She wonders why the trash collectors want the probe. Chakotay says, it contains multispatial technology and it could be after that.
Right. Are you sure Chakotay didn't say, lay down. Oh my God.
Lay down,
Janeway.
No, that wasn't the first scene.
Just checking. Okay. So what were you telling me? The probe contains what?
Chakotay says it contains multispatial technology.
Okay.
So that's probably what they want.
That's what they want. They want that, right?
Yeah. So we go in B'Elanna's quarters and B'Elanna comes in and she's looking, you know, so we last saw her with a Cardassian and the tiger claws.
Yeah.
And B'Elanna comes in looking like she was in a bar fight. Like she's beat up. She's got serious wounds, by the way. Yeah. Like her arms are deep gouges and cuts. And
isn't there inventory in sick bay? Wouldn't the doctor have been saying, hey, for some reason, someone took a dermal regenerator. It's gone.
Yeah.
She's got this dermal regenerator with her. And she's just, neat, neat, neat. She's just running it across her wound.
She's trying to heal her open wound so nobody will see it. And then there's a moment where it was a great shot in the mirror where she's sitting there and we see her off in the distance
on her image.
Mirror. And then she stands up and walks to the mirror and looks at her wounds and things.
How did you decipher that stare?
Pushes in.
Yeah.
I just deciphered angst, like shock, PTSD or numbness or something like that.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, my what I wrote down was it seemed to me like she caught her reflection in the mirror and she was not sure who she was. She's like, who am I? Why am I doing this?
Why am I doing this exactly?
Have I gone cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs? Like, what's going on? Like, why am I engaging in this extremely risky behavior right now, you know, and she's kind of just,
well, I think that's what drives her to the next scene in the mess hall where she goes. So we go to the mess hall, she comes in and Neelix is about to close up. It's dark. And he goes, B'Elanna, what a nice surprise. I was about to close up.
Yeah.
And he says, business is slow because everybody's working on the Delta Flyer shuttle.
Flyer. Mm-hmm.
Kind of cool.
Yeah.
And she says, I just want to catch up.
Which is so uncharacteristic of her. Yeah. She doesn't say that. Yeah.
She doesn't say that ever. And he goes, and his response is, okay, well, let's get you something to you know, something to eat or drink. Name your poison.
What's your poison? Yeah.
And he waits and he goes, I set you up there. He says, usually you insult me. You've got really witty insults. Yeah. And
she has nothing.
And I set you up there and you didn't say anything. And she goes, well, I'd love some banana pancakes. Right. And he goes, banana pancakes, never heard of those. Mm-hmm. And she says her grandmother made them. Yeah. And it always put a smile on her face.
Right.
And I loved his response. Well, then one smile coming up.
Yeah, I love that.
I love that.
Yeah, great writing. Nice. Great writing, Ken Biller.
Yeah.
And then, you know, she's making small talk by asking Neelix how things are going. But she's not really listening to him. She takes one bite and says she has to go back to work. So she's still so preoccupied. But the other note that I made,
make her smile here.
Yeah, she didn't make her smile. The other note that I had is before she orders the banana pancakes, the close up on her coverage, her forehead looks like it's sunburned. So I'm thinking like, wait a minute, did Tom Paris have poison ivy or poison oak? And he just transferred that to Torres when she came.
It can't be real on her because that's all prosthetics. So it's got to be makeup.
It's just, but the makeup was just like,
maybe you're right. Maybe they were using a little extra red in makeup touch ups or something.
I think that's what happened. Somebody was there that was filling in for someone who was sick, did not know how much color needs to go on Tom Paris or B'Elanna's face, and just added extra color.
Went extra red.
Yeah. So I it's so funny. In this episode, you've noticed things I had no clue about, and I have noticed things that you did not notice before. So that's why we're so good together. All right. We're on the bridge, right?
We have a space shot real quick.
Space shot.
Has the Malon freighter next to Voyager. So we see now they're both sitting next to each other, orbiting this planet. And Janeway wonders on the bridge, she goes, why are they there? Tuvok thinks that they're waiting for us to get the probe so they can steal it again.
From us, right?
Yeah, and she's like, that doesn't make sense. They would call in reinforcements if they were going to fight with us again. Mm-hmm. And then we get a call from Seven.
Yeah,
she says, I'm in astrometrics. Janeway, you've got to come down here. I have important information on the Malon vessel.
Come on down, Captain. Janeway goes down. Contestant on The Price is Right. Exactly. Yeah, she goes down.
Goes down, and Seven says she has been using coherent neutrino beams to document the activity on the Malon vessel. I was like, coherent
using
neutrino?
What?
Coherent neutrino beams. Okay.
Does this mean these are neutrino beams that are sentient, that have awareness? Yes. Like, what? Okay.
Yeah. Janeway goes, okay, in other words, you're spying on them.
Yeah.
And then we realize these coherent neutrino beams, which I don't know why we don't use these all the time. Yeah. So we know what the bad guys are doing.
Exactly.
Because it brings up this like thermal image movie of what they're doing.
Like it's so CIA's, you know, and it's like, come on, if we've had this technology for this long, boy, this could have helped out in season one, two, three, four.
We'll know exactly what they're doing. We can watch it like a movie. But we see they're working on a secret shuttle themselves.
Right. Yeah.
And Seven says, based on what I've seen so far, they should finish in about 36 hours.
Right.
Which is quicker than our estimates. And we won't be done. They'll be first. Janeway's line is, well, then, I'd say we have an old-fashioned space race on our hands.
Yeah.
Which is funny that Janeway, so far in the future, pulls that reference out.
Yes.
Like, that's still a meaningful reference.
This is a Tom Paris reference. This Tom Paris would say this, not Janeway.
That's a 20th century reference for sure. And then we have another space shot with the captain's log where she says they're speeding up the pace of construction. Mm-hmm. And then we cut to a shot of the shuttle bay, and we see the Delta Flyer for the first time being fixed or built.
Yeah.
And I wrote down, this is a very interesting shot because there's a lot of CGI animation mixed in with real elements in this shot. And it's hard to tell even if the crew members, we see some figures. It's basically a big wide shot in the shuttle bay.
Yeah.
And you see the Delta Flyer kind of partially finished, mostly finished.
Mostly.
90% finished. Mm. Some panels are open. Some people are working like underneath. Some people are walking around the side. But I couldn't tell. I feel like what they did was they shot some extras. They filmed extras just standing on full green stage.
Okay.
At a certain angle. And then they shrunk them down and put them into an animated environment.
Oh.
Because it felt like it was sort of... hand-painted in many ways. It didn't feel something about it that felt very...
Yeah, I just assumed that all the Starfleet, tiny little Starfleet personnel were all CGI as well. That's what I thought. I don't know if they were.
I don't know if they were.
And the one on the stairs looked like me. I thought the one on the stairs was me. I was like, hey, is that me on the outside? So I don't know.
I do remember Dan Curry doing shots with background in our second unit green screen days.
Okay.
Where he would film them so that he could shrink them down into these big wide shots. Sometimes it would be a space shot.
Okay.
And he wanted people walking by the windows and things like that. So he would shrink them down and then put the background people inside the ship. So you saw people through the windows.
Okay. Earlier when you said it, I thought you were just making a guess, but you have physically actually seen him do this during second unit. So
well, then on that's other probably shots. What happened then. So I bet that's what he did on this shot.
I think you're right.
But so much of the shot looked kind of hand vis effects, like physically painted.
Correct.
As a 2D, you know, animation mixed with some real, live action. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting though. First time we see the shuttle wide. That's so important.
So in essence, you've been describing Dan Curry's shrinking beam. In a way,
that's right.
Yeah, his little miniaturization beam. Okay. Let's move on. Now we're in the Delta Flyer, where the Delta Flyer interior and
first time.
And Harry says, look, we need to reinforce the hull with Kellanite. And, you know, everyone's like, well, that's, you know, Tuvok says something like, well, that's just, you know, coming up with the same answer for the same problem. And it's still not going to work.
He says repeating the same flawed strategy over and over won't make it more effective.
Exactly.
I laughed out loud. Yeah.
So he digs into me a little bit.
Yes.
And then Torres just snaps at Vorik and just like,
because Vorik is welding with some hand tool and it's loud. It is loud.
It's not that loud. It's not like, you know, I mean, she made it sound like it was what do you call those when you're drilling when you're knocking through cement, you know, it's like
a jackhammer.
Yeah, it's like a jackhammer sound. I'm like, it's not a jackhammer sound.
No, it's just like a
it's like me laughing, you know,
exactly. It's like, it's like your bumblebee laugh.
Yeah. She should have said like, you know, Vorik, stop. It sounds like Harry's real laugh when he's not being Harry, you know, kind of a thing.
Yeah, exactly. Then Paris at one point says, well, you know what? Let's just launch. We might as well just launch now.
And hope for the best.
And Tuvok says, Mr. Paris, that is perhaps the most illogical statement you have ever made.
Look at this. Look at this jousting, the verbal jousting between Tuvok and Tom. It's happening.
And they argue over the useless Captain Proton knobs.
The useless design elements is what he calls it, right? But I thought, come on, man, how cool is that? And Paris is like,
I forgot about those, that we had the balls.
All the stuff.
And the switches and the knobs. I forgot. I remember when we came in the set the first time, I was like, that's cool.
Yeah, I did too.
That's really
cool. When we walked in, we were both like, what? You guys put the Captain Proton knobs in here. So we were both, as actors, we were both surprised and also impressed that they had done that. They really made this Paris's creation. And Paris tells Tuvok, look, I'm just tired of tapping on panels. I want to be able to feel the ship that I'm piloting. And Torres just kind of, again, Torres, very, very distracted, just leaves to head to the holodeck.
They're talking about the biggest problem here is
the micro fractures
of the hull.
That's right.
That they can't seem to solve this micro fracture problem.
Right.
And it's very dangerous, Tuvok says. Mm-hmm. And B'Elanna's eavesdropping. She hears all of this and she's like, I'll be right back. And she takes off.
Harry stops her like, where are you going? And she goes, I'm going to the holodeck, see if this microfracture issue is a fatal flaw. And that's it.
Yeah.
She leaves.
So we go to the holodeck. She's in the holodeck version of the Delta Flyer now by herself.
Right.
And I realized she's the first one to actually be filmed piloting our new Delta Flyer show.
In this simulation.
We're stuck on the one we're building.
She's flying it
for the first time on film on the show.
Yeah. Did you feel jealous about
it? I did. I felt a little jealous.
I thought so.
I had forgotten about the moon roof that we had built into the Delta Flyer. I thought the moon roof is cool. And one reason it's super cool is they can light from above, they can use the stage lights to light us. In the old shuttle, it was a windshield in the front.
Yeah.
And so they were often really struggling to get lights in there.
Much more limited faces. Yeah. Well, Torres is now on the holodeck. She turns off the safety protocols in the simulated Delta Flyer. She's heading down into the gas giant. And of course, turbulence starts happening and one huge jolt knocks her into the panel and knocks her out. Basically, she's on the ground.
And the microfractures are beginning at this point.
They're starting.
And it's shaking and bumping. And then she's thrown to the ground and we don't know. She disappears. We don't know what's happening.
Yeah, we don't know what happened. We don't have what happened, but she gets jolted.
Bumped a big bump to the ground. And then we cut to the bridge.
Yeah.
We see out in space, the Malon vessel is venting this giant theta radiation cloud.
It's
and
passing says, gas is what
it's,
it is.
It's farting. It's a space fart. It's space farts. And Janeway's like, hey, let's back off a little bit. Yeah,
because it affects us. Our shields actually, our shield effectiveness goes down, right?
Yeah.
So we have less shielding because of this space fart. And now we know the name of this guy. Because Chakotay says Vrelk is hailing us.
Well, wait. Vrelk. He told us his name earlier.
Did he?
Yes, because I dictated it. I dictated it.
Did you dictate it?
Yes.
Vrelk, he says, lay down, Vrelk. Lay down.
It's Brelk with a B. Brelk is what I wrote.
Well, then I went to the Voyager script for this episode, and it's spelled V in that one. So
really? Yeah. Okay, Vrelk. All right.
V-R-E-L-K.
I thought he said Brelk.
Yeah. That's what See, I that's the down. Thing. With these alien names, it sound everything sounds the same.
Okay.
Vs sound like Vs, you know, and everything is just kind of it mushes together.
All right. Controller Vrelk.
Yes.
But they do back off. And Janeway, I love some of the little stuff that Kate did in this episode. She was really funny to me.
She was.
When she was annoyed, she'd be like rolling her eyes or, or you know, at one point she's like, oh, it's in the scene. Okay. So he says, sorry, that was rude, wasn't it? And he admits in this conversation with Janeway that they are building a vessel and he knows that Voyager is building a vessel just like them. So they must have the same coherent, whatever it's called, whatever special magic sauce that Seven used that we'd never seen before. They must have the same sauce.
They have the same tech. And they say they're going to launch in 2 days, less than 2 days, right?
She's like, why are you telling me this? And he goes, well, I'm just trying to save you the embarrassment of losing. And Janeway at that point goes, ugh. And I literally dictated that down because I was like, oh, so funny.
Her little mannerisms, her little facial mugging going on
so
here.
So funny. But she does say at this point, she cuts him off and she's like, we need to speed up this construction.
Yeah.
Where's B'Elanna? They can't reach B'Elanna.
Well, actually, no, that's what prompts that is Chakotay says, well, we need to figure out how to shore up our shields in case Vrelk decides to do more space farts. And so then Janeway calls for Torres to shore up the shields. And that's when there's no response. They locate B'Elanna in Holodeck 1 and Janeway sends Chakotay to go fetch B'Elanna because she's not answering.
And we go back inside the holodeck Delta Flyer simulation and it's still descending and shaking and the door opens and Chakotay sees B'Elanna lying on the floor.
Unconscious.
And he freezes the program and goes down and checks her vital signs and calls immediately to sickbay. Medical emergency, he says.
Yeah, I almost feel like it was a long time from when she got knocked out to when Chakotay actually found her. Like, she should have been dead.
That thing should have been blown up.
She should have been dead. Yeah, already.
But she would have been dead if he hadn't come in. There would be no more B'Elanna.
Yeah, yeah.
So we go to sickbay. This is the first doctor appearance in 26 minutes. Very rare.
You know, Bob must have loved it. He had all this time off. He had only had one day to work and probably 2 hours of work.
Yeah, very, very short work commitment on this episode for him. I noticed in this first shot that the focus was way off, that it corrects suddenly. It jumps in that first shot when the doctor says, the captain's asked me to keep you here. And I was thinking, you know, this was back when we shot film and now we shoot on
digital
HD digital video. So we can play things back. If we think the focus wasn't right, we have much bigger, better monitors that everyone's looking at. So
does any show still shoot in film?
I don't know about television. I don't think so. I cannot imagine that a TV show shoots on film, but but some features still do. Some features still do.
All right.
But this was a moment, you know, our camera assistants were looking at monitors that were, you know, 5 inches wide or 4 inches wide. And they were trying to guess with tape marks on the ground. Mm-hmm. This is a scene where I thought, wow, that, something's weird about this first shot in sick bay.
Yeah.
It's two shot. And then all of a sudden I saw the focus correct itself. It like jumps
last second.
And it reminded me of like, oh yeah, we didn't know back then. Like you sort of had to guess. I think we've got the focus, and maybe you did, maybe you didn't.
And that was Chris Ishii correcting at the last second, pulling that focus.
Probably. But Janeway enters. She says the doctor found evidence. She tells B'Elanna of lots of internal injuries and many of them not recent injuries, months old.
Yeah.
And Janeway wants to know why. What is she doing? She says they were treated by someone untrained, like a first year nurse or something, nursing student. Or
Janeway's concerned, and Torres is not giving anything up. Torres says there's nothing wrong. And then Janeway places her under the doctor's supervision and takes her off the shuttle project and says, I'm sorry that I have to do this. To which B'Elanna replies, I'm not. And then Janeway touches her chin gently, brings her face up to look at her eye to eye and says, now I know there's something wrong, which again, I love the writing here. It was just like, so well done by Biller. Good job, Ken.
We go to the ready room and Paris and Chakotay are there talking about the shuttle. Everything's working. They just need to solve this microfracture problem.
Right.
And Janeway asks Tom first. He says, do you know what's going on with B'Elanna?
That's after he gives his progress report, right?
Yeah.
You do give that report there. Okay, go ahead.
Progress report first, and then she asks about B'Elanna.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom goes, you know, she's hardly speaking to me lately. I don't know what's going on. And
you didn't get defensive either, because Janeway sort of says, in the beginning, she says, how do you not have any idea about these injuries or how she got them? And you just kind of... You don't really, you know, I mean, you're pretty calm about it. I thought maybe this was gonna an area where you would kind of fight her a little bit, but you didn't. You were like, I just haven't even seen her myself. So
no, I think it's just he's concerned like she is. You know, everybody's confused and concerned.
Yeah.
They decide to look at her personal logs though and her holodeck history, and that's kind of where they leave it. And Tom and Chakotay go to look into this a bit.
Yeah.
And now we're in B'Elanna's quarters. The doorbell keeps ringing and she yells, I'm sleeping. And then Chakotay comes in and she's like, oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were the doctor. He thinks that I'm suffering from clinical depression, she says.
Right.
Chakotay says, you know, look, let's go look at your holodeck history and show me what programs you've been running. And maybe that'll help me convince the captain that you're fine. Like, I want to help you.
Yeah.
So we cut into the hall and they're approaching the holodeck console and she's trying to get over there first and he grabs her.
Yeah.
He says, No. Computer initiate B'Elanna holodeck program 801. And she panics.
Yeah, she does.
She panics.
Yeah.
And she's like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? And he grabs her.
Yeah.
Grabs her and sort of drags her inside the holodeck.
Oh, and she's struggling. She's fighting her. Yeah.
Yeah, she does not want to go into this holodeck program 801. She knows what it is.
Yep.
And Chakotay basically, he drags her inside of this cave set, which looks a lot like the Cardassian set that we saw before. Yep. But now there's all these dead people on the ground and he rolls over a couple of them. And we realize that this is their dead friends from the Maquis.
Mm-hmm.
That this is a program that has recreated when they lost all of their friends, all of their fellow Maquis in a battle. And Chakotay actually says, you only ran this program once and only for 48 seconds right after they all died.
Right.
And then you stopped it, didn't go back to it again, and started running the most dangerous holodeck programs that you could find.
Yeah.
And you turn off all the safety protocols. Why? Why are you doing this?
Yeah. He asked her, why are you harming yourself? Are you trying to kill yourself? Are you trying to commit suicide? She says, no, I'm just trying to feel something. I'm just trying to see if I'm still alive.
Yeah.
And, you know, she asked Chakotay what he felt when he looked at those corpses, the Maquis corpses. And he says, I felt sad, angry, maybe a little guilty that I wasn't there to die with them. And B'Elanna says, well, guess what? When I look at these corpses, I don't feel anything at all. I don't feel anything for Tom. I don't feel anything for my job. I don't feel anything for anything going on in my life right now. Yep. She's completely numb, completely numb. Yep. And Chakotay says, maybe you are afraid that if you let yourself feel something, you might not be able to stop it. Mm-hmm. And so Chakotay continues with, you can't just shut off your emotions. Sooner or later, you're going to have to let yourself grieve. And Taurus says, well, I mean, why? Just so that I can go through it all over again. And Chakotay said, well, what are you talking about? And Taurus then goes into this monologue about
her backstory.
Yeah. She says, when I was six,
mm-hmm. my dad left me. And when I was 19, I got kicked out of Starfleet.
Yep.
And all of our Maquis friends, she says, I always lose family.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to pause here for 1 second and say, this sequence, I was very conflicted about this because in our story, I think it's at the heart of the message of this episode, which is you've got to let yourself feel your feelings in order to grow and heal and move on.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was really not in agreement with what Chakotay did.
Oh, how physical he was with her?
I'm not in agreement with that at all. I think it's a very dangerous way to force someone to relive a trauma.
Yeah.
In an unsupervised, like Chakotay's not a trained psychiatrist. No. He's not a mental health professional.
Correct.
It was really unprofessional and dangerous. And I would not recommend that anyone in real life act like Chakotay.
Correct.
And force someone.
That's a good caveat.
To relive a trauma without being prepared and trained and having safety protocols in place because I was not in agreement at all.
Sure. There should have been some advisory message at the beginning. You know, I mean, please do not try this at home, you know, on your own, because you're right. You do need a professional to deal with this type of PTSD, this type of stress that she's having to deal with. And it was a little brusque. And Chakotay basically says that you have a new family here on Voyager. And you're going to have to find another way to deal with this than putting your life
and hurting yourself.
Yes. And Taurus says, I don't know how. I don't know how. And Chakotay says, you know what? We'll figure this out together, which is really how it should have began. Instead of yanking her into that holodeck program, he should have said, we need to figure this out together and had a conversation.
Yeah, I think that for her. Something like this, and I'm not a professional either, but my instinct is that there's a more professional and gentle approach that probably would be healthier than this kind of tough love that Chakotay practiced in this scene. Yeah. And by the way, as they're getting into, Chakotay saying we're your family now, you're not going to lose us and we're not going to let you hurt yourself. And then Janeway calls, they're under attack.
Right.
And B'Elanna goes, you better go. And he leaves her.
He's re-traumatized.
He's dragged her into this traumatic thing.
And leaves her to,
And just when she's the most vulnerable, he's like, okay, he's just said, we're your family. We're not leaving you.
Yeah.
And then he leaves her. I'm like, what? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I hear you.
Anyway.
I hear you. He reports to the bridge. And now we kind of have... it jumps back and forth between the bridge and the interior of the Delta Flyer. And the Malon are now firing more spatial charges / fireworks. Remember?
I love their spatial charges. Those.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're firing at us to distract us from their launch. So Janeway then hails Paris and says, it's now or never. And so Paris is ready to go. And he's like, okay. So then we jump to the corridor. And we see B'Elanna chasing down Chakotay because Chakotay is going to be part of the mission, right?
Chakotay's headed to the new Delta Flyer. They're going to launch it, even though they haven't done all the tests. Mm-hmm. And Chakotay is carrying a briefcase.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what? I've never seen someone going to a shuttle mission. Anyone going on a shuttle mission just happening. We don't carry briefcases.
He's got tools in there, though. It's a tool case. It's not a briefcase.
But aren't the tools already in the shuttle bay where we've been working on this thing for days?
Like, these are extra special tools that he's bringing in.
Understand. I feel like it was just a symbol of Chakotay's going, and then he's going to hand off this thing.
The magical B'Elanna, suitcase.
Yeah, the magic suitcase that we never carry anywhere else. But today we need it. And Bilana catches him. She says, I've got to do this myself. I need to. Yeah. And they exchange the suitcase. Now she's got the suitcase and heads off, and he smiles. Mm. We go to the Delta Flyer, and she's walking in with the briefcase. And she says that that she can help keep this thing from falling apart is what right.
And then she kicks Vorik out, which I wrote down, poor Vorik. I mean, he's been abused. He got yelled at her before in the earlier scene. He's ready to go on the mission. Bilana comes in, boots him out of her seat. Yeah. And Vorik, just like an obedient puppy, you know, sort of turns tail and takes off. He's like, okay. So poor Vorik, not a lot to do for Alexander Emberg in this episode.
No, not much to do,
but still more than the doctor.
And that's true. I wrote down that the very first flight crew of the Delta Flyers, first mission is Seven, mm-hmm. Harry, mm-hmm. Torres, and Tom.
Seven, that's Harry, Torres, Tom. Yeah, oh my gosh. Look at the acronym. Seven, S, Harry, H, Torres, T, Tom, T. It's shht. Yeah, it's not it's shht. Is what it is. So team,
that's shht. Us.
Team is ready to go. Team. Shht.
Yeah. We take our very first space flight, and it looks cool. We see it take off from Voyager and start to head into the gas giant planet.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And I did notice that the moon roof looked really cool. I did see that we raced toward the Malon vessel. Boy, we caught
it's
it pretty
clearly
quick.
Fast. Because on the bridge, we jumped to the bridge. Janeway asked Tuvok how long it will take to overtake the Malon shuttle. And he's like, approximately 3 minutes. Like, they left a while ago.
They left like 20 minutes ago.
No. And clearly you've put some supersonic boosters on this.
Yes,
shuttle.
We have. As we're approaching, the Malon shuttle fires at us.
Yeah.
And Tom says, oh, they want to play dirty.
Yeah.
Let's show them what a little Borg inspired weaponry can do.
Do you think they only have fireworks? It's only spatial charges. It's only spatial charges. Yeah. Even their shuttle flew through fireworks, spatial charges.
Yeah. I like the fireworks.
I like them too, but I would think they would have, you know, they're an advanced society. I would think they would have more than one type of weapon. Yes.
Phasers or something like that.
Like a theta radiation torpedo, you know, would be pretty killer, but they don't have that. Okay. Yeah.
Seven fires the torpedo at them, and they pull out. They pull out pretty quick. They give up pretty quickly. Well, so clearly our Borg-inspired...
Yeah, she fired photonic missiles, to be clear, to be
precise. I thought she fired a Borg.
No, she says... Because we lose secondary systems from the spatial charges, and Paris says, oh, you're going to play tough, rough with this. And so that's when she says, loading photonic missiles and three direct hits. So we actually hit them three times. They pull up to kind of get away because they're losing structural integrity. And at the same time, we are losing structural integrity.
Yes. Yep. At this point, that when they bail out, our hull integrity is only at 25%.
It's low.
Very low.
Harry gets a lock on the probe and beams it into the shuttle. This is when you realize that the probe is not as big as it is.
So. I was like, Harry beams the probe into cargo hold? What cargo hold? We have one on the shuttle, I wrote, or the ship? I don't understand. I don't ever remember a cargo hold on the Delta Flyer shuttle.
Yeah, it got beamed into the shuttle. So
okay, and trunk, I hope.
In the trunk. Harry should have said, I'm beaming the probe into our trunk, is what he should have said.
Okay. Yeah, Tom would have put a trunk in this one.
Of course.
Yeah, Bilana sees this panel starting to fail, part of our hull.
Yeah.
And I remember...
It's like a bag of popcorn, you know, in a microwave. Like
they put sort of this rubber, it was either rubber or some soft metal like lead. And I remember they were literally just putting their fingers up on it to push little bumps in it.
Oh.
It was the most low-tech insert shot. I remember watching it. It was so low-tech.
So these are the fingers of a crew person that are
our on-set effects guy. Yeah. So there's visual effects does the computer stuff. And then there's on-set effects. Does fire, smoke, things that break, anything like that.
This is Dick Brownfield's fingers?
Dick Brownfield's guys pushing... against like a rubber or lead panel or something.
It wouldn't have been lead. It would have been too thick. It was some type of malleable material. Clearly, fingers are going to push through there.
Yeah, but she goes to fix it. She grabs another panel from the inside and welds it sideways. Like it's real cattywampus. It's like and crooked, and she starts welding.
And everyone looks at her and says, like, well, that's not going to work. And then she says, Seven, finish my job. She runs off and she grabs an EPS relay and then rigs some setup with her phaser on there. So I wrote she MacGyvered it is what
I wrote the same thing. Yes. MacGyvers it. She Legos these two things together, the EPS relay and some other thing. And then she asks for a phaser.
Yeah.
And MacGyvers this whole thing together so that she can turn it on and create an internal force field.
A containment field.
Yes. Containment field, just as that whole, you know,
before it fails. Yeah, it blows off and it blows off. Look at that.
Jeez. And Harry says, glad you decided to come along. So I like that line. We go to the bridge, the Malon shuttle. We find out is stuck in the atmosphere. They can't seem to get out. Yeah. Jerry sort of smiles and she's like, get us out of here, warp two. Mm-hmm. So we take off, leaving them with the trash men stuck in the gaseous giant, which is appropriate.
Yeah.
We go to the hallway and Torres and Chakotay are talking. She thanks him for what he did in the holodeck, she says.
And interesting, he chases her down. Before, it was B'Elanna chasing Chakotay down and said, let me go on the mission. And now Chakotay is chasing B'Elanna down.
Yes.
And so he asks how she's doing. She says she doesn't know. He says, well, give it time. And she thanks him for what he did in the holodeck earlier and says, if he does anything like that again, that she will break his neck. So now you have a little glimmer of, there's Torres B'Elanna. Salty B'Elanna. She's back. Yep. She's back a little bit. We go to mess hall. She's now replicating a stack of banana pancakes with maple syrup. And I wrote down stack of pancakes in Starfleet replicator language really means three. It means three pancakes. There's only three on there, or it looked like two. And then I noticed there's actually a third one covered. But a stack to me is five or more. Do you agree? I mean, a stack of pancakes is a lot. So.
Yeah, it should be more.
It should be more.
I saw some bananas in there, though. It looked good. Okay. Look yummy.
What was that laugh at the end? What do you think?
Well, because she said my grandmother used to make these for me and always put a smile on my face.
Okay.
That's what it is. Because now before when she tastes it, she's like, this isn't putting a smile on my face. I got to go back to work. She didn't feel it. She couldn't feel anything.
Right.
But this is the idea that now she's starting to really face her feelings. She goes to eat the pancakes. She takes a bite and she's like, oh, I'm feeling my feelings again. I'm remembering grandmom and that this is delicious. I love the smile at the end. Yeah.
Well, it wasn't but here's the thing. Do you think it was a conscious choice? Do you think it was a conscious choice that she knew as an actress that the script said, it puts a smile on my face, but because she kind of made a breakthrough, she went above and beyond the smile and she made it a laugh. You see what I'm saying? Where she said, I'm going to go even more as an actress because a smile is not going to be a laugh. There's a difference.
Yeah. Yep.
She definitely throws a big ha 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 into the end of it. So
like,
I feel.
Yeah. I thought it was a happy laugh. Like, yes, this is.
I'm
on the right track now. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Excellent.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
So your lesson from this episode would
My lesson is it's super important to feel your true feelings. And that's the only way that you can move on and heal and grow. So that's my lesson. Yeah.
Give yourself time to grieve. I also wrote down another lesson is, don't forget to look at the big picture. And that's in reference to the initial Malon vessel that just follows that probe in blindly into the gas giant.
Yeah,
it's like, dude, you have one focus, and that one focus is so microscopic. It's for that damn probe. You don't even realize you're about to die. So so just look at the big picture, people. Don't be so obsessed with the small detail or one small detail so that you ignore everything else that's going on. So that's the other lesson that I found from this episode.
Good. What would you give this out of one out of 10?
I'm going to give it an 8.2.
Ooh.
Okay. I'm going to give it more than mainly because it's the Delta Flyer.
Yeah.
We now have it. We have the darn shuttle. It's finally here. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I am going to surprise you and go at a 9.
Whoa, give this a 9. Look at you pushing it up there.
Yeah.
Look at you.
No, I thought this involved the cast. I mean, we've talked about the doctor didn't have much to do, but
is this you or this is this just you avoiding any criticism? Is this really your feeling? Nine.
I really enjoyed this episode.
Wow.
I thought it was really, really good. I mean, there's a couple of flaws. That's why I won't give it a 10.
Yeah.
But I would give this a 9. I think this is one of our best episodes. It had heart.
Yeah.
It had sci-fi elements. It had
humor as well.
Humor.
Yeah.
It had some big moves with the Delta Flyer mythology being created and tying in the Captain Proton stuff.
Yeah.
Major tension. Relationships. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. I'm going to give it a 9.
That's probably one of your highest ratings.
It is. It is. There's only a handful that have gotten up above an 8.
It's tough to please McNeil, but he's pleased today.
I was very pleased. Happy to see Roxanne back in the game.
There you go.
In a big way. So
there you go. All right. Well, thanks everyone for joining Robbie and I during our discussion recap of Extreme Risk. Join us next week when we jump into In the Flesh. That's the name of it. I don't even remember that title. In the Flesh?
I remember that title. I remember, I do remember that title.
Okay.
I remember signing, you know, people bring scripts by at conventions all the time.
I've seen that title. In the Flesh title.
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right, everyone. And for our Patreon patrons, please stay tuned for your bonus material.
Thanks, everybody.